being St. Patrick's Day, and with this lesson that we have, I thought I'd read St. Patrick's breastplate. And maybe some of you are familiar with that. This was from St. Patrick. Christ be with me. Christ within me. Christ behind me. Christ before me. Christ beside me. Christ to win me. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ in quiet. Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love me. Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. St. Patrick. Christ. And that's what this lesson is about. Today, we're going to talk about a secret. And it's the secret not only to the Christian life, but to life itself. And it's easy to miss it. The Galatians had missed it. And Paul wrote them, and in the third chapter, third verse, he says, are you so foolish? Having begun with the Spirit, are you now trying to achieve your goal of Christ's likeness by your own effort? Are you so foolish? Why do we think we can do things on our own? And there's a secret. You feel like there's been something missing? Has the Christian life felt burdensome? You feel like it's yours? That you are carrying it? It's yours to do? It's yours to make yourself into the Christian that is pleasing to Him? Is it yours to bear the fruit, have your life be productive? Is it yours to make life work? All the problems? These are stressful days. Jesus says that we are to walk with a peace that passes understanding. How is that possible? He says, do not worry about your life. Are we to keep our heads in the sand? Is this naive? Or is there a secret that we're missing? He said He came to give us life and that it would be abundant. He says to come to Him, that His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Does it feel that way? We have a secret to talk about. Others have, discovered this, of course. It's right in the Scriptures. But here's a book, Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. Dr. Edmund, who was president of Wheaton when I was there, wrote this book. They found the secret. There's all of these people, saints of the past. There was something different about them. They found the secret. A good old classic, Hannah Whiteall Smith. The Christian's Secret of a Happy Life. This is what we're going to look at this morning. Excuse me. Before we do, let's pray. Lord, these are truths of Your Spirit. We pray that it would be Your Spirit that would unfold them to us and stir our hearts with them, open our eyes, excite us with their reality and practicality of the living them out in the midst of all the demands each day. Lord, we commit this time to You and ask that You pour out Yourself to us today and meet us in those places of need, those places that feel heavy, those places where we're weary, those burdens we're carrying. Meet us there and lift them. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The secret to life itself. Now, we looked at two of these aspects in our lesson today of the Christian life, secret of the Christian life, of the being and the doing. There's two aspects. We're called to be. He wants to have us be Christ-like. He wants us filled with Himself. The doing. He wants our life to be effective, powerful, meaningful. He says there are works already prepared. He says that our life is to produce an abundance of fruit. And he reveals the secret to really that happening. Those are two aspects that are in our lesson today. But we're also going to look at life itself. As I said, these are stressful times. Jesus desires there be something different about Christ ones than the rest of the world. People are to see, why do you have such peace? We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same circumstances. We hate looking at the monthly statements that come from a stockbroker. And, you know, we listen to the news. Troubled times. Is it naive to say, don't worry about your life? Let's take a look at some of these secret today. And Debbie, the song, it struck me as we were singing it, and I love the song, Make Us One. And we do, Jesus' prayer was that we would be one as a body, as believers. But also, in light of this lesson, I thought of it as a prayer. Make us one, Lord, us with you. Make me one, Lord, one with you. When we looked at the chapter with the goals for life, what are God's goals for us in life? Christ-likeness, oneness, being one with him, moving in him. Acts 17:28 gives us the secret. In him we live and move and have our being. Now, is this just theoretical, philosophical, theological? Or is it practical and real? I believe it is. And it's a lifetime process of his doing this in us. But it makes all the difference in the world. So first, we will look at the being, because that's where we start. And when I first came to know the Lord as a senior in high school through Young Life, my heart was for him, and I wanted to live for him and be for him. And because I had been raised in a home that was all performance-oriented, and if there was any okayness, it was up to me to achieve it by behaving myself and trying to please, I just carried that over to the Heavenly Father. And we often can do this. And so it was my heart to make myself into the best Christian I could. Oh, he's going to be so pleased. And I hope everybody else thinks it's pretty good too. It was about, I didn't realize it, but I was looking at it, it was mine. And that's one of the things that we can keep asking ourselves. Is this mine or is this his? Is this me or is it him? So I shared in the chapter about how the Lord took me through a very painful experience in which I felt stripped. Stripped of everything that I had made of myself. Back down to the foundation that was laid of Jesus Christ. And now it was like the Lord said, now let me do the building by his Spirit. And we discover how freeing all this is when it's his. And this is what he says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. These are freeing truths. We don't make ourselves into this, and then pride can be involved. Well, I wonder what they think of this creation that I've made, and how pleasing is it? We don't realize it. I didn't realize it till my eyes were open to it. And I thought, yes, that's what I've been doing. That's why it's been heavy. That's why I cared so much what people thought. It was all about me. And he stripped me of that. And then he began doing the building. It's mysterious. It's by his Spirit. We don't know how. But as we are in his presence, his Spirit is at work. And he molds and he fashions. And as we look in the next lessons of persevering through hard times, this is part of what he's doing. Purging us of self and of all that's not pleasing to him, that he might form Jesus more and more in us and fill us more and more with him. So we yield ourselves to him. We ask, Lord, do this in me. I can't do it myself. Isaiah 64:6. He says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. If we could make ourselves like Christ, he wouldn't have had to die. Every other religion is making ourselves get up to God. Christianity is God saying you can't. Coming down to us. Giving his life for us, saying, I need to live in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus in the garden, is there any other way, Father? Do I have to die? If we could have made ourselves right in his sight by all our hard work and efforts, the Father would have said, no, you don't need to die. Let them do it. But that's why Paul says to the Galatians, are you so foolish? Having begun with the Spirit, we receive our salvation by the Spirit. We know that's a free gift. So we receive that by grace and faith. And then we set about doing everything ourselves. That's just a religious form of behavior modification. It has to be real. It's Christ in us. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Sometimes we think unconsciously that when we receive Christ as Savior, we're kind of marked with the sign of a cross. We're a Christ one now. But no. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, a person in the form of his Spirit comes and lives in us, alive. You, if you have received Jesus as your personal Savior, have Jesus alive in you by his Spirit and all of himself, his whole character. His power, his presence is in you. And it's like, let me out. Flow through you. Express, be expressed in you. And we keep it pushed down and we're working at it. It says, let him flow. Let him work. In, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says, the word of God is at work in you who believe. As we feed on his word, the Spirit takes it as food and uses it, builds into us, just as physical, natural food is food for our bodies and becomes metabolized into energy and life. So as we feed on him, feed on his word, ingest it in our spirits. He takes it and makes it reality in us. It's mysterious, but it's his. Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we with unveiled faces beholding the glory of the Lord are being changed from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. If there's going to be anything of Jesus in us, it has to be his doing. And he freely gives us himself. Oswald Chambers says, it's not imitation of Christ, it's impartation of Christ. He's imparted to us. He fills us. He lives in us. And his Spirit is at work conforming us and filling us so that more and more it's Jesus in us that's seen. It's Jesus who lives out his life through us. Naturally, spontaneously, all in the uniqueness of our own personalities, and quoted in the lesson, we don't lose ourselves. We become or who God envisioned us to be when he formed us and created us. As he works in us, we become who he designed us to be. And it gives us joy and him glory and joy. He delights in that. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we kind of slide over that. We say the fruit of the Spirit is, and then we go into the list. You know what, we can all say it, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, joy. It's all mixed in there. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Did I forget one?
Faithfulness.
Whoa. Yes. And so many times, Lord, make me patient. And I'm going to work hard at being patient. I'm going to work hard at self-control. I'm just going to grit my teeth. And I'm going to be patient if it kills me. But we begin to notice as we've been in his presence and as his Spirit is working in us and as we are asking him and yielding to him, work in me. Make us one, Lord. Fill me. That we start reacting a little differently. Naturally. As he naturally is living in us and through us. We find ourselves not as quick to react. Oh, look at that. Usually I would have snapped. I didn't snap this time. God's been at work. So it's his to do. But we need to be with him and ask and yield and allow him to do it and feed on his word. It's his to do. Then he is glorified. And he says he fills us with his glory. And his life in us is fragrant. It's attractive. And it's peaceful. The peace of his presence is in us. He does it. He accomplishes it. He is alive in us. It's freeing. It lifts the burden. My sister, she knew the Lord, but hadn't nurtured the relationship very much. And this was a long time ago, a while ago. She was living in Scottsdale. And it was all pretty much self. And her marriage, she had struggles in her marriage, struggles at work. God had a lot of work to do in my sister. And in me and in all of us. But suddenly once, then she had this kind of epiphany about, you know, and heart for the Lord and wanting to grow in him and desire to know him better and realizing he's real. And this is all true. So she started getting to know him a little more and he started working more in her. And she was more patient with her husband. Kinder, not so critical. At work, she was head of public relations down in a marketing firm in Scottsdale. And she was head of personnel, and she didn't like people very much. You know, and she'd hear somebody with a problem, and she'd say, well, get over it. As she started growing in the Lord, she started caring more for people. And people started to come to her then with their problems, and she cared about it, and she listened. And then she called me, she says, I have such wisdom. The Lord is giving it that way. He says, in him are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He was imparting himself to her. She had insight. It was him. And she was delighted, and he was being glorified. Our doing, same thing. Sometimes we feel it's up to us to bear this fruit. And you might have heard me say, I was in New York once, and was touring an apple orchard, and you know what I was so taken with was how quiet it was. All these beautiful apple trees with all these apples. It was just loaded. And I didn't hear any groaning from those trees. Ah, there's another apple. Oh, you know, it's quiet. And that life was just flowing up through the tree very naturally, out through the branches. There's an apple. And that principle of that natural life that we see in plants and trees around us is true in the spiritual life. He says it's his life in us that flows up through us. His spirit produces the fruit. We're told in John 3:6, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. If there's going to be anything spiritual happen in our lives, it has to be by God's spirit. If there's going to be eternal results of our lives, fruit born that will last eternity and glorify him, it has to be accomplished by him. This is why Jesus says in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. And sometimes we think that doesn't make sense. Look at all that I'm doing. But he's talking about things of the spirit and eternal matters and anything of significance that's lasting. It has to be him. This is why it's freeing. This is why he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Don't carry it. It's not yours. That's the difference, huge difference in a little word of being responsible for something and just in something. We're responsible. We do the task that he gave to the best of our ability as he enables. But we don't carry the burden of the results. And that's a red flag for me. And with this last, you know, the Ann Graham Lotz event and all that there was to do with that, and then some of the needs, and then I can start to carry that. Think, oh, well, now how are we going to get that done? And how is this going to happen? And what are we going to do about that? And then, oh, yeah, it's not mine. Show me, Lord. Let me walk in your spirit. Lead me. Go before me. Christ before me. Christ with us. In Christ. It's his results. Then he is glorified, and we are freed. We do what he calls us to do as serving him and in him, but then we leave it with him. Exciting truth, freeing. So we pay attention to those red flags, or in the book he used the yellow flag, the warning flag at an Indy race, that if I have anxiety in my stomach and I'm anxious about something, or I feel pushed, I start to push, that I have something I want to make happen, it's, whoa, okay, that's me. I'm functioning in self. I'm about my agenda, my purposes. It's become mine. First sign. And then I have to stop. Say, no, Lord, it's yours. I release it to you. You work your purposes. And the more we see him do that, and his sovereignty is such a delight. He's involved in the nitty-gritty of our lives. And as we release him to work his purposes, it gives us delight. We see he's alive. He's involved in your life, in my life. I don't want to get in his way. I don't want to push my own agenda. And if I have trouble releasing it, I have to ask myself, well, why? Would I really want my will and not his? And if so, why? So it's releasing. Let it be yours. Work your purposes for your glory, for our good, for eternal value. He's working higher purposes often. He says his ways are higher than ours. And so when we don't understand what he's doing, we trust. Because we've released it to him, it's his. And so Isaiah 50:10, let those who walk in the dark, who have no light, when we don't understand what's happening, trust, it says. Let them trust in the Lord and rely on their God because he's trustworthy. He promises not to ever fail us or forsake us. And you've heard me saying this was an aha moment for you one time when I was struggling with this. Where are you? Have you forsaken me? That at the end of time, when we see him in Revelation and he's high and lifted up on the throne and he's declared worthy of worship, and people from all of time are there worshiping him and praising and giving him their worship and saying he's worthy, he's receiving it. He could not receive that at the end of time as worthy if he had at any moment from the beginning of time to the end of time ever forsaken one of his own. If he had ever failed any of us at any moment, he would not be worthy of worship. But he is. So that encourages me. Trust. He knows what he's doing. And I say, am I in control? Am I taking over? Am I working my purposes? He lets us. And then it feels heavy, or maybe when things get messed up, then we come back. Don't let me do that, Lord. Let me get out of the way. Let it be yours. It's his. So it's his to bear the fruit. It's his to make our lives effective. And he says he keeps us in perfect peace as we release it to him. There's this, I tried to draw this out. It's not, I don't know if this will be clear, but I thought it might help a little bit to understand this concept. This is in him. And he says, come into him. And I picture, you know, being at a friend's house, and I stop by and we stand out on the porch and she's inside and I'm outside and we visit a little bit and I just drop off something and then I'm on my way. And that's often how we operate our Christian lives. You know, we talk with the Lord in the morning and he's inside and we're standing there and we're in a hurry and we talk to him about all these things and then he goes inside and we go our way. And then we go about running out, you know, our lives. Oh, I've got to take care of this and take care of that. He says in Galatians 5:25, he says, since you live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Move in him. In him we live and move and have our being. It's beautiful. It's peaceful. This is what this circle is. This is in him. This is the way often we live. It's more in self. It's for him. And, you know, and there are varying degrees. It's not a black and white. And we can go back and forth from this throughout the day. And so this is what I have to ask myself. Am I functioning over here? Now, is this me? Is this self doing this? Or am I moving in him? And then I move back into there. It's yours. This is the Acts 17:28. This is the John 15. Abide in him, and he will abide in you. It says, if you do this, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. It's that spiritual, natural principle. The life, his life in us flows through us. It bears fruit naturally. And he is glorified. He says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. It's His. He's glorified in us as Jesus lives in us. He's glorified through us as His Spirit flows through and accomplishes His purposes, bears fruit. In Colossians, Paul's prayer was, "My prayer is that you bear fruit in every good work." What is that saying? Every good work does not necessarily bear fruit. What's the difference? What is of Him? So many times we spin our wheels, our days are packed full. It's all stuff of, well, this is my agenda and my purpose, and oh, I think this would be good to do, and I'm going to do that. And then we're frantic. Move in Him. Keep in step with His Spirit. Be about His purposes. A friend told me recently that her husband, and this is kind of an aside, just popped in my mind. Her husband always would say, you can tell a lot about a person of how they come into a room. You have some people come into the room like, here I am. And there's another way you come into the room. There you are. There you are. It's about them. And that's what it is in Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's Him in us, Him through us. And it's beautiful, it's peaceful. And I'm learning, I'm struggling in this. And Frank Laubach and Brother Lawrence knew this secret, and they have this book, Practicing His Presence. And at first, they had to keep practicing it. They had to intentionally choose to be, let it be His. And move in Him and not take it on themselves and keep giving it back moment by moment by moment through the day. And then pretty soon it became more natural. They moved in Him. It's His Spirit in us. So we say, Lord, teach me. Do that. Make us one, Lord. Make me one with You. It's Your doing. This is my desire. It's His desire. He will do it. It's for our delight and His glory. Exciting. Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor's spiritual secret. This is what he learned. He was a doctor, a medical doctor, and established the China Inland Mission. And for a long time, he had his medical duties, his ministerial duties, just the demands of family, all of this. And he discovered that it's not him, but Christ. And he wrote his friend, Mr. Judd. And so Mr. Judd is writing. And he says he was a different man now. A bright, happy Christian. He had been a toiling, burdened one before, with latterly not much rest of soul. It was resting in Jesus now, letting Him do the work, which made all the difference. Whenever he spoke in meetings after that, a new power seemed to flow from him. And in the practical things of life, a new peace possessed him. Troubles did not worry him as before. He cast everything on God in a new way and gave more time to prayer. It was the exchanged life that had come to him, the life that is indeed no longer I. 6 months earlier, he had written, I have continually to mourn that I follow at such a distance and learn so slowly to imitate my precious master. There was no thought of imitation now. It was blessed reality. Christ lives in me. This is part of this difference. And this is his heart, and it's for each of us. And it's, he desires us to just yield ourselves to him, release it to him. Are we afraid? We ask ourselves, what is it? Why are we afraid? Do we really want our agenda? Do we want our purposes? Do we want it our way in our time? And then he says, okay, go ahead. Or do we say, it's yours, Lord? He showed me this, you know, once for our son, Scott, you know, who's here and doing well. And just thank you for your prayers and continuing. But several years ago, and I was just agonizing in prayer over him. And there are times that we battle and agonize in prayer, but there's a difference of taking it on ourselves, or we're doing spiritual warfare. We'll talk about that next month, you know, of in the heavenlies. But it's, again, it's his. So he showed me that I had been keeping him, God, in a box. And I was putting all these constraints on God. Didn't realize it. Just things that I thought, well, he should be doing it this way and that way and in this time. And this all sounds good to me. And come on, God. And he said, release him. And he said, for a while, it might not look like his faithfulness, but he will be being faithful. And in the end, I will praise him. So it was release, letting God out of the box. And it wasn't pretty for a long time, but I had to keep saying, it's yours, Lord. He's yours. Do what you need to do. And I hang on to that then I will praise you. So I praise you now for that you are at work, even though I don't see it. You know what you're doing. So pray that the evil one's bound and that the Spirit is released to accomplish your purposes. And the promises that he's given, I see one has been fulfilled, one being fulfilled, one yet to be fulfilled. God's at work. It's yours, Lord. He's yours, Lord. Keep me sensitive if I'm to say anything or do anything. Let me know it when it's yours and in your spirit. Not in self. It's not mine to do. What a difference. It's more peaceful. So he says, cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. Let him carry them. We're with him and we give them to him, and then we leave his presence and we take him right back with us. And we say, well, a lot of good that did. Leave them with him. They're yours, Lord. We pray. We remain sensitive. Show me if I'm to do anything or say anything. But let it be yours. And it's love. Just love one another. So he says, move, live in him. Move in him. This is the secret to life. And it's effective and it's powerful. We yield our wills, but that doesn't mean we're left willless, as Hannah Whitall Smith says. No, instead, he imparts to us and in us his will. So we walk with that strength and conviction and power, his spirit in us. In God's purposes. It's delightful. And one of my greatest joys about him is his sovereignty and his involvement in the nitty-gritty. That he says, that's why he says, do not worry about your life. God knows. As we yield ourselves to him, he pledges himself. He covenants with us. To take care of us. He is our good shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, he contrasts bad shepherds and good shepherds. The bad shepherds care about themselves and they don't care about their flock. The good shepherd cares about his flock. He's sensitive to them. He knows their needs. He orders it all. When he says keep in step with his spirit, he knows our priorities, our responsibilities, our concerns, the pressures, and he puts it in an order that is of him. We can let go. He takes care of us. One of my fears at first yielding fully to him was, well, what about my needs? He's our good shepherd. He cares about us. He knows our needs. He'll lead us aside. Take some rest. Set aside this morning and come and be with me. Let me refresh you. So we live and move in Him and have our being in Him. So say, teach me, Lord, and do this work in me. So our responsibilities, yield to Him, release it to Him. Pray. Ask for His purposes. Spend that time with Him. Feed on His Word. Ask His Spirit to work the truths of it in us, to fill us more with Jesus. And to choose intentionally as we walk through our days, this is yours, Lord. Don't let it be mine. Pay attention. The more we do this, the more sensitive we become to His Spirit in us. And we're aware. Oh, I've just been functioning in myself there. Okay, Lord, let me move back into You. Let it be Yours. Let me move in You. Let it be Yours. It's practical. And pretty soon it just becomes natural. Arthur Rubinstein said about playing this piano and the practicing, Lloyd Ogilvie mentions this in one of his books, that Arthur Rubinstein says, if I miss a day of practice, I know it, I can tell it. If I miss 2 days of practice, my agent knows it. If I miss 3 days of practice, my public knows it. And Lloyd Ogilvie says, that's how he feels about our times with the Lord. So these times with the Lord, they're not something that we do and add to our list of all the things to do that day. This is our life. He is our life. We need to walk with Him and in Him and have Him flow through us. So keep me sensitive. Fill me today with Yourself. Let me discern Your voice as I move. Know that freedom and restraint. No, I'm not to do that now. Yes, now. Something I was going to mention that just came in my mind, I know I need to wrap up, is Corrie Ten Boom. When, she would go and she'd give the same talk wherever she went. And it was powerful and it was wonderful and it impacted people. One time she went to Chicago. This was back, about doing the things and having it be His. She was in Chicago and she did the same meeting that she'd done in all these other places, but she said it fell flat. Everything kind of seemed to go wrong and there wasn't any sense of His presence and there didn't seem to be much fruit born of it. And so she went to the Lord and she said, Lord, what happened? What was the difference? And she named these other cities. And she said it was though the Lord said to her, these other cities, Baltimore and such, that was me. Chicago was Corrie. Same words. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He says, come into Him. Live and move and have our being in Him. In Him is peace that passes understanding. It's a paradox. We can have pain and the realities of life, but the paradox of peace. My friend Anne, a couple months ago, lost her husband to cancer. And she's been moving in Him through it, through that death, the sickness and the failing. And she was aware of Jesus carrying her. Yes, it was, they gave Him precious times together where they could cry together. And to hold her through that process. Yes, she felt the pain. Yes, she felt grief. Yes, she had a lot to do. But she saw the Lord carry her, order the times, help her in it. And now, all the business stuff. She wasn't a business person. She never looked at that stuff. She didn't want to. Now she's having to do it. She says, Jesus is helping me. He's showing me. It's beautiful. She says, I am just amazed at the Lord. Look what He's doing. She says, yes, I cry every day, but He comforts me. And then I have joy, and then I have joy in Him. Joy in seeing Him take care of me in it. Joy seeing Him lead me with this. Joy giving His giving wisdom to me as I do all this stuff I don't know anything about. leading me to the people that are, he has to help me. Joy. Peace. I don't have to take all this on as mine. It's his. So as we yield everything to him, he covenants and pledges to take care of us. He is our good shepherd. He cannot fail us or forsake us. If we want to be on our own and do it in our own strength and our way, he says, go ahead. But it's his joy, his heart for us, to live in us, work through us, provide, care for us, and gives us great joy as we know him better. Make us one, Lord, with one another. Make us one with you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, do show us, teach us, help us as we go through our day to be discerning. Am I in self or am I in you? Let us spend that time with you, that you can fill us and work in us, and that we move in you then through our days. Teach us, Lord. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit, and you say in Luke 11, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Lord, we don't want it to be us. We want to be set free. We want the peace that passes understanding. We want our joy in you deepened and expanded. Fill us, Lord Jesus, with your very self and flow through us for your joy, your delight, and ours, for the furthering of your kingdom, for our good. Take everything now that we've come in here carrying with. Let us release it to you and leave it. And then praise you for what we see you doing. Thank you that you love us and you will be faithful to us. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.